You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history once again, going back this time to 1988 for the formation of the National League for Democracy in Myanmar, also known as Burma. So the country had achieved its independence in 1948, following shortly after the death of the eventual leader of the National League for Democracy, Aung San Suu Kyi, her father being Aung San, who was assassinated in 1947.
New Delhi joined in greeting Burma's Independence Day at a ceremony attended by Ernan Patton, India's Governor-General. In Rangoon itself, 4:20 a.m. was the hour fixed by Burmese astrologers as the most auspicious time for the transfer of power. After the Union Jack had been replaced by the flag of independent Burma, the members of the new government were sworn in. At Government House, Sir Hubert Rance, the last British governor in Burma, joined with the President, Sao Shwe Thaik, in a review of troops. Later, the governor went aboard the cruiser Birmingham and from her deck took leave of the new Burma amid the good wishes of her people. A special presentation to the Burmese president was a new car, the gift of the British government. Meanwhile, the people of Rangoon were celebrating independence in many different ways. Everybody walked the streets in their best clothes, some sucking lollipops, others having joyrides in jeeps. Men, women and children flocked to the great Shwe Lagoon Pagoda, while others went to the fun fair. Not far away, along the river banks, thousands more enjoyed music as they watched a water pageant. Most colourful item was a magnificent ceremonial barge, complete with dancers in traditional costume. The great statue of Buddha looks down on a people's rejoicings as Burma begins a new chapter in her ancient story.
And this chapter would remain relatively peaceful and stable until the 60s, which saw a military coup which installed a junta which has ruled the country ever since.
Well, returning now to the crisis in Myanmar, the military took control in 1962 and has ruled the country with an iron grip ever since. Tim Lister tells us how Myanmar, also known as Burma, got to this point.
Victoria's Battle of Burma.
In the Second World War, the British and Japanese fought a merciless campaign for control of Burma, keenly aware of its strategic location and natural riches. When the guns fell silent, Japan was defeated, Britain exhausted. Burma gained independence almost without a fight. But it also had no working institutions and an ethnic insurgency that would go on for decades to deal with. The army stepped into the breach, quickly growing to a force of more than 200,000 men, and has been there ever since. 1962 was the watershed when a candidate the generals didn't like won elections. General Ne Win mounted a coup. He ruled Burma for a quarter century, launching what he called the Burmese way of socialism. It was ruinous, a bizarre mixture of nationalization and astrology. While Asian tigers like Thailand and South Korea roared, Burma stagnated, spending as much as 40% of its income on a huge standing army. Because he thought 9 was a lucky number, Ne Win abolished the currency overnight, replacing it with banknotes that could be divided by 9. And like Idi Amin in Uganda, he also expelled thousands of ethnic Indians, despite their vital economic role. Ne Win occasionally dabbled with democratic change, but never let it flower. Just before the democracy protests in 1988, he warned, "If the army shoots, it hits. There's no firing in the air to scare." He was followed by a junta even more secretive and hardline. One of its first moves to change the country's name from Burma to Myanmar with the Adaptation of Expression Law. Since 1992, Than Shwe has emerged as the senior general in the junta. Occasionally, the regime has allowed Aung San Suu Kyi, the beacon of the pro-democracy movement, to travel in the country. But for 12 of the last 18 years, it's kept her under house arrest.
Yes, that was part one of the Stay in History. Part two will be right back after a quick break.
It's your Kiwaha o Te Wiki, your saying of the week. This week,
Kei tua o tā wauwau, away with the fairies.
Yo, you coming to lunch? Oi, even listening?
Huh? Oh, mate, Kei tua o tā wauwau, waho. Didn't sleep much last night, sorry.
Ha! You're something else, my mate. Let's start with a coffee.
Kei tua o tā wauwau, away with the fairies.
It's your Kiwaha o Te Wiki, brought to you by Ngā Tauira Māori, the University of Auckland Māori Students Association.
I know where you were last night.
Craig, it's not...
Am I not deep enough? I can be emotional. I can break the fourth wall.
Wink.
I know we don't have the same history together.
But I love both of you.
No! Make a choice. Me or theatre?
Live for Drama, take some stage direction from our resident theatre expert. What's on and what's good on the Auckland stage? 9 a.m. every Friday on Breakfast. Stage direction with Johanna Cosgrove, brought to you by the Vic Devonport.
We now return to this day in history, don't we, Ben?
Yes, when we left off, Myanmar was still under the control of a military junta. This was challenged somewhat in 1998 by mass protests, the 8888 movement, because it happened on the 8th of the 8th. Rather confusing, but there you go.
Certainly is.
So these were sort of mass protests by students, workers, really all types. Everyone turned out on the street. The military then cracked down and said they were going to push forward democratic reforms, and they did hold an election, which they immediately nullified because it was won by the National League for Democracy, founded on this day in history, 1988.
Pressure for reform in Burma has been kept up right to the choosing of the new leader. Only 2 days ago, hundreds staged a demonstration outside the hospital where last week soldiers searching for wounded protesters shot dead doctors and nurses, tributes marking the spot. It's only 3 weeks since Sin Win was sworn in to replace Ne Win as leader. He lasted just 17 days before the government was forced to bow to the growing protests. The question is, will the new leader, Mwang Mwang, be any different?
Well, compared to the other leadership of the BSPP, he's a very educated man. He's travelled in the West. He's written books. He's also a lawyer. So he's a very interesting choice from a leadership who generally have their roots in the military.
Is he going to be acceptable to the people of Burma?
I think it's possible to read too much into the fact that he's got this civilian background. Given the scale of the protests over the last month, I think they'll be looking for some very decisive changes.
The demands for reform, being led by the student community, are general elections within 6 months, Sin Win to be put on trial, reduction in the cost of living, restoration of basic civil rights, and the release of political prisoners. Today, the European Community added its voice to concerns about human rights abuses in Burma, recently highlighted in an Amnesty International report on execution and torture of ethnic minorities.
In various minority states, troops assigned to counterinsurgency operations basically seem to kill anybody they suspect has any sort of association or might be giving any kind of assistance to the insurgency. If they don't kill them, they take them into custody, interrogate them, and during interrogation use some of the most horrific forms of torture that I've ever heard of. It seems that the army has now been doing in urban areas what it's already been doing in rural areas for a long time.
Outside the Burmese embassy in London today, members of the Committee for the Restoration of Democracy in Burma held a protest picket, one of several this week. Their posters reflected reports that as many as 3,000 people may have been killed during last week's demonstrations in Burma. And they had no illusions about any new leader.
He's a non-entity. He doesn't count. He's just a front man or a stopgap. That's the best I can say about him.
26 years of repressive rule and political isolation has brought economic ruin to Burma, once one of Asia's wealthiest countries. It's estimated now that 40% of the gross national product goes on the black market. Until 4 months ago, this woman was a surgeon in Burma. She says if people were sick and they didn't have money, they'd die.
When a patient comes to the hospital, the doctors ask them to buy the antibiotics by themselves. So the patient relatives have to go to the black market and they buy the antibiotics outside.
We asked the Burmese ambassador for an interview, but he declined, his staff preferring instead to take photographs of the protesters.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.